Connecting. Access granted. It's the Chris Hood Digital Show, where global business and technology leaders meet to discuss strategy, innovation, and digital acceleration. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Your digital evolution starts now. Here's your host, Chris Hood.
Welcome to the show, Ross. Would you mind introducing yourself?
Thank you, Chris. I'm excited to be here. And I am a serial entrepreneur. Computer sciences is my degree, but I've been through multiple startups, starting all the way back to Excite.com, was the founding CTO at Homeway, and now I am the founder and CEO at Zen Business. So I've always had a passion about entrepreneurship, small business, technology. So this has been a perfect fit, and I'm grateful to be on the show.
I'm happy for you to be here. And I want to dive into entrepreneurship because I think there's a lot of people out there, especially today, they're struggling with their job. Maybe they've got laid off. They're trying to figure out what's next. I wake up, I decide I want to do something on my own. I think a great question is, how do they start?
Well, it's a good question, Chris. I mean, I know this show's not scripted, but boy, that was certainly a softball for me. One of the things that we've done at Zen Business is we've done a bunch of research around why do people quit their jobs, or more than that, how do they feel about their current jobs? And the overwhelming result is they're miserable in their current jobs. You know, many people gain weight as a result, you know, are depressed, you know, just really is a non-rewarding experience. And so that's why more and more are choosing, either they're forced into it or they're really making the choice to do it. Now, I don't want people to listen to this podcast and then go quit their job and hope everything works out, because that's not the way it's done. And getting directly to your answer, it's mostly done and responsibly done, you know, through a side hustle. Or if you are, in fact, forced out of your job and you have no choice, then it can be a full-time thing. But the responsible way is to do it through a side hustle. And, you know, I counsel everyone, Chris, you know, for example, if you're a plumber, you have no lack of business. So, you know, if you're a plumber and you work for a plumber and you want to go out and start your own business, well, you should just go out and start your own business as a plumber. That's easy. You do need, you know, infrastructure for your business, and companies like us can help you with that. But if you've got an idea, a novel idea that's, you know, adjacent to what you're doing or completely novel, I always say the first step is, I got this question the other day, like, Ross, what's the first step? Do I need to get a website? Do I need to get a bank account? Do I need to get an LLC? And I say no to that. The thing that you need is you need an ability to test your idea. And then the next question is, well, what am I testing? And what you're ultimately testing is the value exchange. So will someone give you money for what you are trying to sell? So it's this value exchange. And that can be done in the simplest way. And I would go for the simplest way. You know, if it's, you know, a service idea, which is, you know, 70% of the businesses that are created are service-based businesses. So is it, you know, can I start a lawn mowing service? Can I start an advertising service, a marketing service, a website building service, whatever service it is? Go out and test it. You know, now you can test it with surveys. You can test it with putting out flyers into everybody's car windshield wiper in some parking lot and see what kind of response you can do. Or, you know, you can just go directly and try to get people to, you know, in locations where you believe that you're going to have a flow of potential customers. But the first things first is follow the money and get someone to pay you and to validate whether your idea is any good. Companies fail for two reasons. One is they don't have a product market fit, which means, you know, no one will pay for it, and they run out of cash. So when you're starting out, this is a, you know, keep this really simple and just figure out if people will pay you for your service. And that sounds simple, Chris, but it's just, I'm always amazed at how people think, well, I got to save up money. I got to, you know, I have to get some kind of education. I have to do this or that or the other. I mean, just figure out how you test your idea. And that may mean building a website, but keep it simple, you know.
Yeah. And if we were to bring some of this together, you mentioned earlier why people leave. The top three reasons why somebody leaves their job. Number one is low pay. I think most of us can acknowledge that. Number two is lack of career advancement. And then number three is not being heard at work. And what's really interesting about two and three, they're really similar, is oftentimes we have these great ideas. We share them with somebody inside of our organization, and the organization shoots it down and says, that's not your job. Go back into your lane. Do what you're told to do. And then what a lot of organizations don't realize is those individuals quit. They then go off and either build that idea on their own, or they take it to your competitors and build that idea. And those ideas, as you're talking about, get built out, they get tested, they get evaluated, and then sometimes they are very successful and you've just gotten disrupted by letting somebody very talented in your organization go. And so it's critical to continuously, as you said, test those ideas, be open to new ideas. CEOs and entrepreneurs have to be able to evolve whatever those ideas are. They can't just stay static.
Agreed. And we expect it at Zen Business because, you know, we're pitching, hey, go out and take this leap, be an entrepreneur in a responsible way, you know, because it is more rewarding, you know. And I get asked, hey, Ross, isn't it risky to be an entrepreneur and go out on yourself, you know, out by yourself? That's been my whole career. And I give this one liner. The only thing worse than working for yourself is working for somebody else. And, you know, the risk is just, it's really a myth. You know, you have more risk working for someone else as far as you're not in control of your destiny. It can be unfulfilling and you can't follow your idea to its end result. And the side effect of having your own business is that it's rewarding financially. You know, if you've got a successful idea, they're undoubtedly more rewarding than working for someone else.
I think there are a couple of stages of this.
Yep.
So I totally agree with what you're saying. And when I think about it, the word that comes to mind is we often get complacent when we're at a job. So we feel comfortable. I'm working. I'm getting paid. I need to pay my bills. I'm okay. Nothing's going to happen. But in reality, anything could happen at any time. And I think if I was to look at these extremes, you mentioned side hustle. But there's even a stage, I think, before that. The number of people who don't even pursue their own personal goals because they're at work and they come up with the excuses and they're like, I'm comfortable, I'm getting paid, I'm happy. I recently wrote a book. And one of the things that I was asked after I wrote the book was, well, why didn't you write the book while you were working for Google? And it was eye-opening to me because this wasn't, I'm going to go start a new business, or it wasn't even, hey, I've got a side hustle. It was simply a book. And I kept putting it off because I'm like, well, I'm busy. Oh, I've got work at Google. Oh, I'm getting paid. I don't need extra income. Oh, every single possible excuse for just a personal passion project.
Yeah, Chris, I love that. Thank you. And when I say side hustle, I include that. I'd include a book as a side hustle. And then even your other comment around, hey, I have this idea within a company, but it's rejected or it's not met with the same response that I think it should be met. I call that adjacency. You know, the way innovation happens is it can be a novel idea, but it's not a novel idea without, you know, some set of adjacency to other ideas and your skill set. You know, so what you see is, geez, there's a need for this. You know, the company doesn't want it. I'm going to go off and do it. And that can mean I can write about it. I can blog about it. I can go off and test it with people, talk to folks and see if it's something that they want. And then I can, you know, put up a website, see what can happen there. The point I'm making is that it's not a binary thing. You can do more than one thing at a time. And so, You know, most of the businesses get started this way.
You know, we talk about fear, the fear of starting something. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side, what you just covered is a belief that what I want to do is valid, is going to work. There's a fine balance between that belief that I know that this is going to work versus the fear of then actually doing it.
That's right. That's right. And so, as I said before, it's not binary. You know, I'm a big proponent of fear. And as you said before, I think there's more fear not knowing whether you're going to get laid off next week. I mean, even at your previous companies had, you know, unprecedented layoffs. Early in my career, I worked for a big company, interned for a big company while I was at school. They had a huge, you know, multi-billion dollar year. And then 6 months later, they're laying off people. It really impressed on me at a young age that there isn't security in big companies. There's more security, in my case, in startups and entrepreneurship. We knew exactly how much money we had. We knew what needed to be done. It was in our control. You know, we had to be listened to because we were the ones that were making the impact. I just think, you know, you're so much closer to the road. And so this fear thing is really an artificial thing. And I think it can be at many times, you know, irrational inside, you know, thing for that person. And it's not such a binary thing. Now, everybody has to take care of their family or themselves financially. So I wouldn't recommend drop everything and go start your, you know, your donut business. But you can do that in a responsible way. I always tell the story, and I'm sure Dave won't care about this. You know, Dave and Lynn Klaus were the founders of VRBO, and that was before HomeAway was called VRBO. And when we were doing the due diligence to acquire them at HomeAway, I asked Dave, I said, Dave, how did you start the company? And he said, well, you know, we had a vacation rental at the time they lived in Denver. We had a vacation place in the mountains and we put a listing up there and our friends would ask us, hey, can you add our listing to it and have the ability to, you know, to call us and get bookings? And then that turned into a business. He had a regular job the whole time. And I said, well, Dave, when did you guys decide to go full time? And he said, Ross, I figured out that when I was getting 5 paid listings a day, I'd quit, you know? And so, because that overtook his salary, and that's the way he, you know, he started the business. And that's the, I mean, I think that's the way the majority of things happen. I do think, you know, as you're younger and have less responsibility, it's easier for you to be an entrepreneur because, you know, you don't have expenses and a family to take care of, but that doesn't exclude anyone that does have those things, you know.
And when we're talking about entrepreneurs, there's, you know, the new term. I don't know if I like it, but it's a new term. Solopreneur, you know, a party of one going and doing something. You know, plumbing is probably a great example. I can open a plumbing business and do it by myself mostly. But then as we start to expand that and we build teams and we get a little larger, there's a lot of balance in there, I think, between doing something by yourself versus starting to bring on team members and trying to understand what the risk and rewards are for them as well.
Sure. Sure. And well, I don't know if there's, you know, my response to that is, I'll just say it, Zen business, everyone has stock. Every single employee is an entrepreneur. You know, I get interviewed for these things and I'm pitching, hey, you know, you need to quit your job. You need to have a side hustle. And so I'm always waiting for the question is like, well, does that include your employees, Ross? And I said, hell yes, it includes my employees. You know, we give out, you know, a free full on subscription to the product. We want them to be using the product and we want them to have a side hustle. Now, we want their main business, of course, to be Zen business, and they all have equity in it. So they're all entrepreneurs and they all act like entrepreneurs as a result. So, you know, I think as you bring on more and more people, of course, you have to, and I've done that my whole career, you know, you want to bring on great people and have a great culture of honesty and transparency. And I believe ownership, you know, really get people to be the entrepreneurs at every level.
So we've talked about the starting stages, mostly of making the decision, going through that process, thinking about the product. First, we'll call that the first week, although we know that it's probably more than 1 week. When we get to week two, what are the things that they should start to do to mature that process?
Yeah, I think I would call that, my view is a little more first principled. So I believe that the leading entrepreneurs or the leaders of the company, the founders, should be focused early on one thing, and that is having a value exchange with the customer. So I think, you know, at the point at which that stops, Chris, and I'm generalizing here, just, you know, is when you have a product market fit. And there's various, you know, you can Google out there and find out what product market fits metric wise, but it's certainly when I have a repeatable process that, you know, I can sell this product, I can build this product, or I can fulfill this service and make a profit that's acceptable to me. And so up until that phase, I know there's scaling issues, there's all kinds of issues that you need to deal with. I think that, you know, folks shouldn't avoid that, but their primary focus should still be, have I got product market fit? Are people willing to pay me? So many entrepreneurs spend time and worry about things that they shouldn't be worrying about. They should be out chasing the customer. What's the customer telling me? They like this, they don't like that. You know, am I delighting the customer? Or, you know, am I providing more value than they're paying for? That's always my focus. Now, if your question is, you know, what are the other things they should be worried about? Well, you know, and I'm not promoting Zen Business, but it is our passion. You know, I think they should have an LLC because, you know, they need to protect themselves and their family. In this day and age, you got to have a website, you got to have a domain, you got to have email, you got to look like a professional business. You have to have some CRM marketing technology, you need some accounting support, you need everything that we bundle in the Zen Business platform, you know, all of the guts of it. And with, of course, our focus is what I just said is making revenue for our customers. So now we're not responsible for that, but we enable that. And so I think there's all that other stuff you need, but you know, you can patch together these various pieces. We try to pull it together in one platform. You know, what Shopify does for e-commerce, Chris, Zen Business does for the service industry. So we're Shopify for the service industry with a single focus on making our customers successful financially. And so that's the, you know, I still think, you know, fundamentally, and I read a little bit about you, we are customer focused. We want our customers to focus on their customers, and we want to focus on our customers because the real enduring advantage you have over everybody is it a better product, right? I mean, it's really that simple.
What's really interesting about this is you think about the market fit and you think about meeting your customers' needs, which I agree. Look, that's all I write about is
right.
If you don't have customers, you don't have a business.
That's right.
And yet, the one thing that I think a lot of entrepreneurs miss, and you can, as you said, you could go off and you can find a metric and you can follow that metric. But what happens is they sell the product and they sell, we'll call it, you know, 100 of the items, and they think, hey, we're doing great. This must be working. What they don't take into consideration is they sold 100 products to their family who were more than happy to buy the products, right? And this question to you is twofold. It's how do you remove some of that bias when you're looking at success in those sales and market position? At the same time, how do you remove that bias internally when somebody tells you this product isn't working, right? We all want to hear that we're great and we're successful, but we as even entrepreneurs have to be rooted in some level of reality and have somebody who's there to say, look, think about it this way, do it this way, think differently. Because I could go downstairs and talk to my mom and my mom says, you've got an awesome product.
Yeah.
my mom is not the target audience.
Yeah, Chris, I'm jumping out of my seat. So I'm writing a book specifically focused on what you just said. And it really is, you hit a nerve with me, and I see it so much, is that, you know, I have a bias. Everyone's biased. We can't get away from it. And so the key is, especially as a early entrepreneur, but certainly later stage also, is what I say is you have to follow the truth. Now, the truth of selling to your friends, it's all biased. So, you know, you want to get to multiple angles on the truth, but, you know, you always want to be in pursuit of that truth. And it absolutely, Chris, starts with the entrepreneur. So we've all worked for the person that everyone in the room knows their foible because they bring it to work every day. And if it gets problematic, it becomes toxic in an organization. Everyone knows about it and they're like, shit, I got to get out of here. And if that person that's leading the company is making decisions through that filter or that bias, it can be destructive, well, undoubtedly destructive for the company. And, you know, I suffer from those, as does everyone else, but I'm super transparent about it and tell my executive staff, you know, and we do team building and we do coaching and all of this. And we're all really pretty clear on what our strengths and weaknesses are in the company. And no one lets me get away with any of my shit, you know? And so that's what you want to do. And then, of course, that makes me more conscious of it. And it also, you want to create this environment, Chris, where everyone's judged the same way and it's judged on the truth and we have data and here's what the customers are saying. And we don't, you know, early on, people would be worried about, well, oh my God, you know, we've got all these customers. We can't do that. You know, we're going to damage the brand or something like that. And I'd say, you know, I'd say, for God's sakes, you guys, we only have 10,000 customers. We don't have a brand. Google has to worry about their brand. We don't have to worry, you know, early on. But that's the bias that plays in there, right? And so, you know, we need to experiment. We need to try. That's our advantage as a young startup, is we can experiment on our customers. They won't care or won't even notice. It's only till later on that you have to worry and take those things into account. So we're constantly looking at what's the data, what's the truth, are our customers actually making more money? What's the KPI around that? I mean, that's a critical KPI for us. What's our NPS from our customers? We have the highest NPS in the industry by leaps and bounds. And so that's because we listen to that truth and we address that truth. We make damn sure our customers are happy, even our sometimes, as you all know, we've all been irrational. Sometimes our irrational customers, we want everyone to be happy with our service. So I absolutely agree with you. You know, the bias has got to be taken out. And I do think it's particularly harmful, just like everything is particularly harmful when you're small. You know, the smallest thing can become existential. So I really encourage people to, you know, whatever their idea is or whatever their metric for success is, to make sure it's not them that is just determining that, that there is some level of, objectivity.
And maybe for our last quick topic here, when I think about startups, it's usually fairly easy to go off and find somebody, whether it's a co-founder or your first employee, who agrees with you, who aligns with what you're trying to do, who sees the same vision or mission of the organization. That's very easy. As you start to scale that and you get to the second person, the 10th person, the 20th person, it becomes increasingly hard to find people who are all going to align with what you want to accomplish. Now, it's great to have yes people around who are going to constantly say, yes, that sounds great. Yes, that sounds great. But it's, again, there's this very challenging aspect of building a team where, to your point, you've got to be able to bring in people who are going to challenge you and still agree with what you're trying to build. And I don't know if you've got any advice in terms of
do,
where to find those people or how to vet those people. Well, but that is the critical piece.
Yeah. So I think, great question. Thank you, Chris. Number one is I have people, you know, I know this isn't on video, and although I look young, you know, I have a few miles on me. And so I have people that I've worked with for 30 years. And so both at the engineering level and at the product level, but also at the executive level that work right with me and my team. And so, Chris, they have a very, and I always, you know, when I bring them on, I know exactly what I'm getting into and they know exactly what they're getting into. And so I can't BS them and they won't let me BS them. Right. So I have that advantage of not being, I have to be held accountable, and vice versa. I know them also. So that's the first step. And of course, you know, everyone would say, you know, hire people that you're comfortable with and they're top performers, of course. But that's the first piece in keeping the bias or the BS low. Then the other piece, Chris, is the idea you want to hire the most diverse folks, because remember, we're talking about bias. And one way to get away from bias is diversity, right? Because they're going to have a different experience. That can be industry, culture, race, you know, men or women, whatever they identify as. That brings in diversity, which keeps you honest. And then the idea has to stand on its own. I mean, the idea of Zen Business has gotten better because people have come in and said, this is great. You know, you sold me on this, Ross. I mean, you know, when you're hiring executives for your team, it's competitive out there. And so you have to do a good job to sell them. And then they come in and say, you know, this is not working. We need to fix that. That's what I want. You want to invite that challenge, because a company that's not evolving is a company that's dying. And so that comes back to this first principle for us, for me, Chris, which is, you know, follow the truth. And, you know, and that truth has to be seated in, we are delivering value to our customers. You know, customers first, value then to the employees, value then to the shareholders, you know, which are aligned with the employees. And of course, we recently interviewed our customers. We sent out a survey on why'd you quit? And I was surprised that, of course, it was to make more money, to advance their careers. It was in line with your answers. One of them at the top, it was like the number three, is they wanted to change the world. They wanted to have an impact. I mean, you know, not everyone is these bloodthirsty capitalists like my generation. These younger folks are more enlightened and they want to change the world. And I do too. And so, you know, I think those first principles of aligning along those lines, man, we want to change the world. We want to do that by making you more successful, that you have a more rewarding life. And we want our employees to do that. And we want to have high returns for our shareholders because they took a bet on us also. So I think that, and that's all about honesty, truth, focusing on the customer in our segment in what we do. And, you know, shit, if you do that, Chris, I mean, it's hard to do that because, you know, I mean, you bring up this bias. It's like, why didn't we do that? It's like, well, we were too married to this or such and such, you know, who knows? But that seems like a winning formula. It's working so far for us, and we're having a, and also, you know, I always say, I want to work at a company. I'm just like the other team members. I said, listen, culture is not just my issue. It's everyone's issue. If you don't like what's going on here, you need to speak up, because I want to work at the same company you want to work at. I'm not magic.
Well, let's help others make the world better. How can they get in touch with you?
Well, they can certainly go to the website, zenbusiness.com, or they can send an email to ross@zenbusiness.com. And I meet with everybody. I always learn more than it seems like I always get more than I give, but I try to give as much as I can.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll make sure that that information is on my website with the podcast once we publish it, or at least you're probably listening to it now, so you can go back to the website and find it. Ross, thanks so much. Really insightful conversation.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
And of course, thanks to all of you who are listening. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast platform and leave a review. Your feedback helps us improve and grow. And if you have any questions, comments, or ideas for the show, you can connect with us throughout social media and online at Chris Hood Show. And please share this episode with your friends, family, colleagues, or anyone else looking to grow their business and start their own digital evolution. Until next week, take care and stay connected.